260 Dugout Podcast is sponsored by McMahon's Best One Auto, GSP Hitting, and Old Fort Baseball Company. If you're listening right now, I want you to picture this scenario. You're on your way to practice or running late for a game. We all do it. You hop in the car, you get it started. Just like that, boom, tire pressure light comes on. Brakes start squeaking. Dashboard lights up like the stadium lights on a Friday night. But don't stress. Relax. Take it to McMahon's Best One Auto. They got you from quick oil changes and flat tire repairs to brakes, alignments, and engine diagnostics. And just like that, they'll get you back on the road fast. That way you don't miss practice, the game, or hanging out with your friends. With 8 locations in Fort Wayne, New Haven, Lima, Ohio, and Bryan, Ohio, McMahon's Best One's got your back. So why wait? Schedule your appointment today at McMahon'sBestOneTire.com. McMahon's Best One, keeping you ready for game day.
Yeah. DC. Turn the lights on the diamond. Man. This that 260 dug out. Mic up, DC in the chair, talking Fort Wayne dirt, red clay in the air, from the sandlot days, scrape knees, hand-me-down gloves to park view nights, packed seats, hometown love, summer city sluggers, little homies with a dream, little league lines, chalk bright, fresh seams, ask the guests how it started, how they carried the doubt, now they legends in the making on the 260 dugout, yeah, it's that 260 dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cow, we ain't never gonna bow out. 260 dugout,
say it.
260 dugout,
louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 dugout.
Park view field, see the 10 caps play. Sunset sitting on the third baseline all day. Cold drink, crowd buzz, first pitch in the dirt. Whole city in the stands, rocking same logo shirts. DC talking with the voices that we grew up around. Ground crew to the coaches that protected the mound. If you ever felt that pressure with two strikes and two out, you already know the feeling of the 260 dugout. Yeah,
it's that 260 dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't ever gonna bow out. 260 dugout,
yeah.
260 dugout,
louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 dugout.
From the backstop fence to the radio waves.
Radio waves.
Every small town spark, every big league craze.
Big league craze.
If you ever caught hope in the palm of your hand, you part of this story, you part of this land.
It's that 260 dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't ever gonna bow out. 260 dugout.
Hey.
260 dugout.
DC.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260
dugout. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Special shout out to our great sponsors at the Old Fort Baseball Company, McMahon's Best One Auto, and GSP Hitting, for believing in this podcast and making it possible. Of course, as always, before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing to keep up with every episode that drops. And of course, if you're on Apple or Spotify, click write a review and let us know what you are thinking of this show. Appreciate you all. We are approaching about the final month of this season 2 of the podcast. Can't thank you all enough. The downloads are going crazy. But now, as we are kind of entering the end of the season 2, we prepare for season 3. And a lot of preparation for season 3 is the travel ball tryout season. And I wanted to talk to this next guest for a long time, actually. And when you think of Fort Wayne baseball, you think of certain people, certain names that come up. But one name that stands out for me is Mark De La Garza, who runs the Summit City Sluggers organization. And Mark joins us today. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, not much. Glad to be on. I appreciate you taking the time out to come over to our facility and discuss this.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a little bit since I've been in this building, but as always, beautiful as ever. You guys are keeping up with this building. It's looking good. Love seeing all the Sluggers gear. Takes me back to, you know, a couple of buddies of mine that played for this organization back in the day. So you guys are doing great things. You know, tons of great players I've interviewed play for you guys. And you guys are doing it good. So thanks for coming on, Mark.
Well, thank you.
So before we even get into, you know, the travel tryout, you know, and talking about youth sports and youth baseball, I definitely wanted to highlight and kind of learn a little bit more about you. I do know you used to work with my dad. That's always good to hear some of the stories from my dad. I got to know, though, because he always tells these stories, and I always feel like he fabricates things a little bit. He always remembers things like, oh, I was this great. I was the best softball player of all time. At least he makes it sound like that all the time. But you guys played softball together too. So how was my dad? I got to know how my dad was as a ball player.
He was a good player. The old man was a good player. He was a better basketball player, but he was a good softball player too. A lot of fun to always be around. Yeah, he could do a lot of things.
Yeah, and you so you also helped me out too, because I was playing high school baseball at Southside, and it had been a few years since I played. And I just wanted to thank you, you know, publicly. And, you know, obviously, you know, after all these years, I didn't have a bat. I didn't have, you know, I'm preparing for high school, and, you know, for the first time since Little League, everybody else on my team has their own bat, all their own stuff. You can't share anymore. Right. And so you gifted me with the nice, I think it was a Easton bat. It was a really nice bat that you gifted me in preparation for my high school season. So I wanted to thank you for that as well, publicly.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad. You know, like, when I first started this, we didn't have this building.
Yeah.
I did everything out of my house. So I had to get rid of stuff once in a while, you know. So I think I ran into your dad. He said you needed a bat, and I had a bat, so it was yours.
Nice. That is awesome. So, Mark, I got to know. So, you know, like I said, growing up in high school, when I graduated in 2009, you know, obviously times have changed. There's all kind of travel programs now. You see all the graphics all over social media. But all I remember growing up and coming up in high school was Sluggers. That was the main travel organization. And I think they used to be the Cubs, Fort Wayne Cubs. And then they ended up changing, as you told me, as we talked today, it turned into the Diamondbacks. That was all I remembered. Those are the only travel organizations that I remembered. So I got to know, you know, how did you even get started with the Sluggers?
Originally, I was supposed to be looking for a houseboat on Cumberland Lake in Tennessee. And I went to work, and I picked up a USA Today at work and was reading through it. And this guy, there's a story on page 6 of the sports about this guy that's opening this park. Baseball park in Cooperstown, New York.
Mm.
Very intriguing, very interesting story. I ended up reaching out to him, and by the time my wife got home from work, I had put together a team of players and their families coming and dropping off their forms and their entry fees. And this was 1996.
Mm.
And we took a team to Cooperstown, New York, to Cooperstown Dreams Park, and I got to be around about 30 other guys that were doing things different in their part of the country. Mm. And then I realized, you know, Fort Wayne needed an avenue like this.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the team I had in 96 was basically a bunch of kids from Ossie and Little League.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next year, I knew what it was about. I loaded up a team with players from around this area, and we went back and had some success. And then I really believe now, looking back on that the Cooperstown Dreams Park facility has kind of pioneered what travel baseball is today.
Mm.
I mean, there was no other park like that in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first one. And it's still going strong today with 104 teams a week. You know, then Westfield built their facility. And Lakeview built theirs. And then our Lake Point. Mm-hmm. Built theirs, and now there's one. I mean, they're popping up all over the country. You know, there's one in Franklin, Wisconsin. There's a new one in Illinois. There's a huge one in Mesa, Arizona. Another big one in Kansas City. They're just, you know, out east, there's a whole bunch. And these communities have figured out, I wish Fort Wayne would figure it out, that mm-hmm. if they build these places, it'll bring in revenue for a lot of people. And you know, that's what's going on right now. They're all turf fields. Everybody wants to play on turf simply because, you know, you're going to get your games in. You know, if you got dirt and it rains, well, dirt and water make mud, and you can't play in mud. So the turf has kind of taken over, and I get it. It is what it is. But, yeah, that's in a nutshell. I started in 96 with a team going out there, and, you know, it just kind of blew up from there. And I stayed in and kept doing it while my son was going through. And then when he got into high school, another guy approached me, wanted to get out, wanted me to take his team. So I took his team. That happened to be the team that Jared Parker was on.
Remember that name.
Yeah. And then I got them through the high school or the college recruiting process. I think that team ended up with six guys that played on that team ended up getting drafted. Obviously, he was the most celebrated one, but they got drafted, and then when they got done, you know, I jumped to another team and another team. Eventually, I ended up with Van Meter's team.
Yep.
Same thing, you know, we got them into college, and he jumped in, out of high school into Pro Bowl. So, you know, that's, you know, kind of where I'm at. And then in, I don't know, what was it, 2018, I was looking for a building to give lessons in, and I ended up finding this place at the right price. So I bought this. I got 15,000 square feet, and I just this summer started doing a few lessons. I hadn't done any until
really.
Yeah, I was just too busy. Too
yeah, you are
going on.
You are busy.
Keep this running, you know. And I'm helping, trying to keep Elmhurst Little League alive.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I got enough going on. I still like to go fishing and golfing, so you know, I stay busy. And
heard you can play some golf.
A little bit.
I heard you can play a little bit.
I have my moments.
Yeah.
You know? I wish I could play more, but, you know, maybe next week I'll get started doing that a little bit. But, yeah, that's, I don't know. That's kind of in a nutshell how it evolved. And, you know, here I am. I'm retired from GM. Been retired since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on about 12 years and still going, you know.
Yeah, this organization is still standing strong. I mean, still tons of talent that plays for you. And so you kind of already segued for me a little bit into our discussion today. So you mentioned that you're in, you know, right now one thing that you're working on is helping with Elmhurst Little League.
Right.
Talk a little bit about what you're trying to help them with exactly.
I want, contrary to what a lot of people think, I want Little League to come back. What Little League lacks is leadership. Okay, it's not, it needs to get back to, we have, right now there's almost like a feud between the travel ball and Little League. And Little League claims that, you know, travel ball teams are being, Little League's being diminished by travel ball teams, which, okay, it's obviously there, that fact does exist. But I think the reason is there's so much politics in Little League. There's so many rules that Little League, I think, needs to catch up on. You know, not a 12-year-old needs to be leading off. Okay, at 12, they're not leading off in Little League. They're playing on a smaller field. The game, the speed of the game is all different. Kids today at 12 years old are bigger, faster, stronger than they were 10 years ago.
Right.
Okay, so we're getting a different brand, and I don't think they've kept up on the changes. So the dads are seeing that, okay, and I'll break it down for you. In 96, 97, 98, I would go around to the Little Leagues, take the A players from Little League. They never quit Little League. They just came and played for me when they weren't playing Little League. Okay, then, you know, when they got to be 13 and 14, we had a thing going on, and there was no Little League for them, so we kept going. Well, then what happens, the dads of the B players, they think, well, my kid can do that. So they take and start their own teams out of Little League. And a lot of reason they left Little League was because of the rules, the leadership, you know. And it's not just District 10. I think it's leadership all the way to Williamsport needs to catch up. And they need to knock off the bitterness they have for travel ball. But then those dads took the B players and started their own travel ball teams, okay? And then the next group phase through, and we got the dads of the C players, mm-hmm. and they want to start their teams. Mm-hmm. So right now we have a diluted travel ball. I don't know what you call it, travel baseball. It's diluted. Mm-hmm. There's too many teams, too many players, and so many of those players that are playing travel ball are paying a lot of money and getting exactly what they could have gotten in Little League. Little League could increase their schedule. I think one of the reasons guys leave is because they want more games. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they can schedule their own games. And then the fascination with tournaments on the weekends mm-hmm. just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Totally shaking my head over Same. All these tournaments that are going on.
Same.
You pay one price for a 3-game guarantee. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last year, I looked in Game Changer, and we had a team that played 3 games at WBA. 3 total games. Mm-hmm. 2 kids on that team got 4 at-bats.
Wow.
In three games. Now, how is that developing? Because every travel team wants to say they develop players.
Right, right.
That's not how you develop players. You develop players by, they need at-bats. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that can replace a game and live action in a game. You got to have that. I agree. Mm-hmm. But there's a better way to do it than paying $690 for a 3-game guaranteed tournament. So that part fascinates me, why that keeps happening. And I pretty much, you know, every year we get asked when this season comes out, how many tournaments do you play in? And I tell people, and I'm shaking my head at the same time, going, why is that what you're
right, why is that the deciding factor?
You know, because how about asking how much practice do they get?
Yeah.
You know, because if you're playing, the way I look at it, when you play baseball, it's kind of like being in the school play. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you don't practice your roles for the school play, the play's not going to be very good. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're running into. That's what we're running into with travel baseball. Okay? If you don't practice, the show you put on the weekend isn't going to be very good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons we don't practice is because a lot of these teams, they don't have facilities. Mm-hmm. That's why they want to schedule practice or schedule tournaments mm-hmm. because then they have umpires taken care of, baseball's taken care of, and a field taken care of. That's yep. all done for them.
Right.
They never think of practice. You know, our teams, we've had a lot. My team right now, the team I'm coaching, we've played over 40-some games to this point. We're done after this tomorrow. But I bet you we've had well over 120 practices. You know, and I think that's why our teams are good right now mm-hmm. is because they have the resources they need to get better. You know, I don't think we could go out and actually recruit the top players in the area. I think we actually can honestly say we develop players because we have the resources, and I have outstanding coaches that are dedicated to helping kids get better, put in the time, are willing to learn. I think that's huge too. You have a lot of coaches that jump from Little League into travel ball and they aren't ready for it, mm-hmm. let alone the players. So we get back to the Little League thing. I think some people need to listen to this
yeah.
and realize that instead of bailing out of Little League, why don't you go in and try to help run Little League, help be involved in Little League, because I help out over at Elmhurst. Mm-hmm. And Brooke Thomas is the president. The one thing she needs is more volunteer help.
Yep.
She doesn't have that right now.
No.
And you can't run anything like Little League and have that many kids you're responsible for and not have help.
Wallen struggles a little bit too. I coached at Wallen fall ball a couple years ago, and we only had two teams. Two teams of that age division, so we had to play travel teams
yeah.
in order to fill our schedule for that year because there wasn't enough coaches, so or players signed up.
Yeah.
So we only had two teams worth of players signed up for that league.
Yeah, fall. I think fall is tough. because you try to, I mean, I know out there they try to do stuff on Friday nights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a commitment thing in the fall. And I think one of the things I'm concerned about at these younger ages, and I mean younger ages are high school and under,
mm-hmm.
is burnout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids playing too much. I mean, we're right now, like I said, 44 games, I think. That's a lot for an 11-year-old kid to play.
Yeah.
You know, but we did it because we advanced in tournaments and got extra games that way. But that's a lot. And when, you know, like I said, we're done by the 1st of July, which I think is important. And, you know,
it gives them a chance to enjoy a little bit of their summer.
Absolutely. Go on summer vacation, do all that stuff with their family. Family's still very important. You know, I got one kid from each family. They got siblings, you know, that got to mm-hmm. be considered. So, you know, it's important to manage your schedule, you know, and I've already talked about next year, what we're going to do next year and how much we're going to do next year.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to manage and make sure we're, you know, here's my goal with these younger kids. I want to see how many we can have ready to play high school baseball as a freshman. I want them to play varsity high school baseball mm-hmm. as a freshman. And I think doing it the way we're doing it, we can do pretty good at that. Now, you're always going to have the high school that's not going to happen.
Right, right.
Because of numbers and talent. Coaching philosophies and everything. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to happen everywhere. But I really believe, you know, if you put in enough time, that can happen. And so that's kind of my goal. I'm not really concerned about how many games we win or lose. I'm mm-hmm. more concerned on, are we getting better? Are the players getting better?
You want me to pause this? Do you have somebody waiting?
I don't know. I think he left. We're
okay.
good.
Okay. So we mentioned a couple of the steps, which I 100% agree on. First of all, need more volunteers. I have a couple of friends that volunteer. One coaches at Wallen, the other coaches at Elmhurst, and they do struggle. A lot of these, you know, I don't think Georgetown struggles, and probably St. Joe.
I think St. Joe's down a little bit.
You think St. Joe is?
I don't pay much attention. I know Georgetown's always booming.
Foster Park's booming still.
Yeah.
But I know that is a big problem, volunteers. And, you know, they post them. And anytime I see them, I post them on the 260 dugout because 100%. And a buddy of mine, Jim Shevlin, who you also know,
mm-hmm.
He hates the excuse that people use when he tells them to volunteer that they're too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And he hates that because, you know, he worked full-time job. He had other things to do. He worked multiple jobs. Yeah, he was still coaching, and people do it. Other people do it as well. So he does. So I will never forget when I told him that, because he asked me how come I don't still coach, and I said it's just I don't have time. And as soon as I said it, he looked at me like, "What did you just say to me?"
Yeah, there's 24 hours in a
day. 24 hours. That's exactly what he said. Wow. So yeah, that's where to start. But how do you fix? So, what is the easiest way to fix? So we. You know, we're approaching tryout travel season. You know, we're seeing all the graphics on social media. Everybody's sharing their tryouts, their age groups, and all that stuff. And so, originally, Travel Ball was created to prepare players that had aspirations to play college baseball. And not only preparing the people that had aspirations, most of the players that played Travel Ball were going to college.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing somewhere.
Right.
And now it just become it's now what Little League used to be. I mean, you mentioned, you know, dads creating, you know, the B dads, the C dads, probably even some cases the D dads. Like, honestly, it's gotten kind of watered down. But so how do we fix that part of it? Like, is there a way? And like, I've had some discussions with people and nobody really has like even a starter solution to that. Like, how do we kind of start fading some of the teams out that have no business, honestly, having a travel team?
First thing I suggest is UTSSA pretty much dominates all the tournaments and events going on
mm-hmm.
in just about every state, and that's for the 14 and under kids. I think they need to have a standardized test for coaches to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't coach in one of their events unless you pass that standardized test.
Mm.
And it'd be, you know, something basic with basic questions on not only the X's and O's, but how to handle certain situations.
Yep.
How to
handling parents.
Umpires, parents, whatever it may be. That needs to be addressed because, one, you know, we can jump into umpires. Someone came to us this year and was complaining because their 10-year-old game only had one umpire. Okay, the reason there's only one umpire at a game is because there aren't enough mm-hmm. to put two on a game.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that schedule the umpires, the assigners, don't have enough umpires. They got to first assign, you know, their small colleges, their high schools, and their JV teams, and then they do this, you know, the travel teams. So most of the 12 and under games, you're going to have one umpire.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, the umpires, the most experienced umpires, I'll use experienced, are doing the higher level games. They're doing right. the college and the high school games before they're doing a summer league,
mm-hmm.
you know, a travel team. So you're not getting, you know, the most experienced umpire. So people got to understand that part and lay off the umpires because, you know, they're doing the job. They're doing a job that you obviously don't want to do.
Right, right.
Because you're sitting in the stands, right. you know. In those days of, you know, the old Leo DeRocher stuff where he just lost it on umpires all the time, those days are over. Mm-hmm. You know, there's got to be some respect for umpires.
Agreed.
That's one of the things. And, I, you know, like I said, these organizations, that other organizations outside of USSSA, like Bullpen, they need to do the same thing and step up. But you know what? I think they're afraid of. They don't want to do that because not everybody will take and pass the test.
Right.
And then they'll lose teams.
Lose money.
Lose money. Yes. And it's no joke anymore. I tried to avoid it for as long as I could, but travel baseball has turned into a business, a big time business. Uniforms, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the whole landscape of travel baseball has just changed so much.
Where do you stand on ages too? I seen a flyer. I'm not joking. It wasn't local though. Thank goodness. 7U, Mark.
Yeah.
7U. That's only 2 years removed almost from T-ball.
Yeah.
What 7-year-old needs to be playing travel ball?
Well, and here's the thing, DC. I never thought I would have 9U.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a group of parents that wanted out of one of the little leagues in Southwest Fort Wayne. They wanted out. And they were begging me to, you know, go to 9U. All right, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were friends and they wanted something different than what that particular little league was offering. So I went to 9U, but that's it. That's mm-hmm. it. I get people and they mean well. They contact me with those questions. Will you start 7U? Will you start 8U? You know, and I'm like, no, I'm not going there because, one, travel baseball, that's the other thing. People complain about the money.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the money, stay in Little League.
Mm-hmm.
Little League doesn't cost nearly what it costs to play travel ball.
And Little League goes up. The age goes up. Like, you can play anywhere now until, like, 15, 16 now. Yeah.
And they got Elmer's is hosting this big league stuff. I think it's tied in with Little League.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that. I mean, there's places to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then another thing that drives me nuts is people leaving the Fort Wayne area mm-hmm. to go somewhere else, not only to play on a team, but the teams that are leaving Fort Wayne to go to Indy
mm-hmm.
to play, the money they spend on those weekly trips down mm-hmm. to Indy. Not only gas, but hotels. I had a dad tell me he stayed two nights in Indy,
mm-hmm.
close to Grant Park. $780 was his bill for
just the hotel.
Just for the hotel.
Yep.
That didn't include the $4 a gallon gas.
Yep.
And then eating out.
Yep.
You know, for the whole family. So
And fees to get into the game.
There you go. Yeah, there's another one. You know, but it's part of the business. You know, you're not going to say no to paying because you want to watch your kid play. And there's someone there collecting, they're going to take your money. And I get it. It's all part of the business.
It's all business.
You know, you start building these facilities, mm-hmm. you got some overhead to cover. I get that. And it's none of my business, but mm-hmm. it is what it is. But I think parents that don't have the means, mm-hmm. don't want to, it's not, like you said, it's not a priority. Baseball's not that important. Mm-hmm. Stay in Little League.
Yep.
Absolutely. You'll get more people to play Little League. It's mm-hmm. the game. I mean, I could say Little League.
Okay. Part of the problem, too, is every parent thinks their kid is going to be future major leaguer. And, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That I think, has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just been in, you don't notice it like
right
now.
Right.
You know, you didn't notice it then until you got to high school and a kid hit two home runs in a weekend and, you know, mom and dad are waiting for the college letters to come in. You know,
waiting for the MLB scouts to show up at the next game.
Yeah, and now it happened. That attitude is down to 10-year-olds, you know.
Yep. It's and, nuts.
You know, I look at some of these younger teams when you talk about ages. I want to see how many of these kids that are having success on a small field mm-hmm. graduate and have success at the bigger fields.
Yes.
When you get to high school, you know? I think that a lot of kids 13 and under are big now. They're good mm-hmm. sized kids now. Are they going to continue to grow?
Right.
Or are they done?
Right.
You know? And that's a concern of mine, because, and I don't know if I've told you this, this is a number I use and continue to use. From 2002 to 2013, in Northeast Indiana, we had a state champion high school baseball team every year from 02 to 13.
Every single year.
Every single year we had one.
Mm.
Some years we had two because of class baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From 14 to now, we haven't had one. We haven't had a single state champion since 2013. That was Van Meter's Norwell mm-hmm. team. That was the last team to win. Now, Bluffton made a run.
They're close.
This year.
Close.
You know, Eastside has made a run and mm-hmm. been close. But we haven't had one. And I blame that. I look at that. And part of this travel ball landscape in Northeast Indiana is, I think, affecting that.
Mm.
What the coaches are getting, the high school coaches are getting, when they, as far as talent goes, is down because, one, the good players are scattered all amongst all these teams we have.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, okay, 2013, like you were saying, to 2002, there was me and the Diamondbacks, mm-hmm. the Sluggers and Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
All the good players were playing together against each other and yep. making each other better.
That's right.
That's not happening now. The good players, they're just the best player on the team, and they walk in knowing they're going to play because they're the best player on the team, and every team's got that guy. We got to get these kids that should be in Little League. We got to humble them and, you know, make Little League better, make mm-hmm. the competition better, and the coaching better,
yep.
and the leadership better, and get Little League back, because when travel ball was good, and high school ball was good,
mm-hmm.
Little League was good.
Yeah,
that's true. We got to get back to that. How to do that? Shoot, I mean,
that's the million-dollar question.
Let's get some people to respond to this podcast.
There we
and
go.
See what they say and mm-hmm. open it up for discussion, because I don't think I got all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I got a starting point and maybe some good arguments
right.
and some good discussion, but I want to hear what people think. I really, you know, in this time of year, travel with the travel trials going on, I really mm-hmm. want to know, what are you looking for?
Yeah. That was going to be my question to you. Like, what's advice that you give parents? I guess that'd be my final question as we kind of put everything into contrast. Everybody's still getting ready for the tryouts. What's your advice to parents, you know, as they prepare for this?
Well, first off, decide how important baseball is to you. If your son is a great hockey player and you spend a lot of time on hockey, weigh that in when you decide on a baseball team, because a program like us, we're pretty demanding. There's not a whole lot
mm-hmm.
of room for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So decide how important baseball is to you, and then try to find a team that matches up with your time frame, okay, and what you want. We have one team this year, and I'm a little bit frustrated with them because they have kids that are still playing in Little League and still playing in other rec leagues, and it interferes with our practices and some of our games. Okay, you know, they obviously didn't weigh everything out when they jumped in with us.
Right.
And the whole team's paying for it. So I think my biggest advice would first evaluate how important is baseball to you? Is this your thing? And then try to match up with a team that works for you. And then look at the, you know, who's going to be coaching and what resources they have. Because I can tell you right now in this area, there is nobody that offers what we offer. Okay, but at the same time, I don't expect to get every player because this isn't for them. Mm-hmm. You know, this doesn't work for them. They might not want to come here because it's too far away. Mm-hmm. That might be their thing. If it's too far away, then is baseball really important to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was a health issue and, you know, your doctor said we need to send you to Indy, you're going to Indy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go where you got the best resources to get better. And that's what we offer. It's not in your backyard. I can't put this in everybody's backyard. But if baseball is important to you, you go where they have the resources for your son. And quite honestly, some kids need a little more seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the other thing, too. You start evaluating young players and projectability. When I scouted for the Minnesota Twins for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that takes the longest amount of time is to learn is projectability. Where is this 18-year-old going to be in 5 years when he's 23?
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to look like? What's his skill level going to be? Is he done? You can't do that with an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old. You cannot project where they're going to be. You have no idea how big he's going to get. You have no idea if he's going to be in this area, if baseball's still going to be important to him when he gets to be 13, 14, 15. You don't know that. So I guess, you know, getting back to your question on how to fix things, I think Little League and the travel teams, we need to. You know, you did that thing at WBA with all the high school coaches at the beginning of the year.
Mm.
I think we need to have a moratorium where we do that. I think that's the right word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where we get everybody in there at one time and have organized open discussion where we can get the tournament people all on the same board and help them make their tournaments better so they're more attractive. And then get Little League in there with their two cents, you know, and they get to express their concerns. I think, you know, we need to have better relationships, I guess.
I agree.
And I agree with, I think the same thing about travel teams and high school coaches.
Mm-hmm.
When I spend a lot of time in Arizona, so I mingle and talk and I meet a lot of coaches, and there's a lot of, and baseball is really important in the Phoenix area. So I meet a lot of people. And I talked to a coach one time of a successful high school program, and I said, how do you guys get along with your summer coaches? He goes, oh, we get along great.
Hmm.
You know, they use our facilities. You know, they do part of our job. They just do it in the summer. Hmm. They're helping our players get better by providing practice and games for them.
Hmm.
Okay? And that's the way they looked at it. And he says, in turn, you know, our field's just sitting there. We let them use it, and there's not a problem with that. And I don't feel like we have that here. You know, I think we have conflict, and unfortunately, a lot of our conflict, let's use field availability, for example.
Yeah, it's huge.
The conflict comes from the administrative side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to get a field from Fort Wayne Community Schools, there's a lot of red tape in that, and a lot of guys don't think ahead and don't get that done. So it makes it a little harder to get field availability. But at the same time, we're trying to help these kids get better.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some fields to practice on. You know, so that's always an issue, too. You know, and I could go on and on about the different aspects that I see in Fort Wayne. Again, I get back to we need more turf fields.
Mm-hmm.
We need more, you know. We're the second biggest city in Indiana.
A little behind on the resources.
I was in Columbus, Indiana. Population's about 50,000.
Yep.
They had between 12 and 20 turf fields.
And they're beautiful.
And they're nice. Beautiful facilities. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're in Fort Wayne, and we got four.
Yep.
And I hope somebody hears this.
I do too. Yeah, we're going to make sure, you know, it's travel tryout season. So again, a reminder to everyone, find the program that's right for you. You know, I know it's crazy. You see all the graphics. Everybody's excited, you know, to get their young Johnny on a travel program. And I get it. But just be smart with your decisions. I know it's a big decision and you don't want to regret it later. And then, you know, be out bashing organizations later on because it didn't work out for young Johnny in that program. So just make smart decisions. Do your research beforehand, before you even try out. Don't wait till after the tryout to do your research on the program. Do it beforehand. That way you know what you're getting into. So good luck to everyone. I mean, we could go on. I think it is time for us to start this discussion. I do think I hold a little bit more of a position in baseball media in the area now. So I think that is something. I think Mark might be on to something. I think we need to start getting a discussion to try to get everyone on the same accord and the same page to try to fix youth baseball. Because I think at the end of the day, you know, it's going to make everyone better. And maybe we'll get a state champion soon. We have some really talented teams that I think are going to be really good next year. But we want to make sure we're good moving forward, you know, for years to come as we once were. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Let's start the discussion. Mark, I can't thank you enough for coming on today. Thank you for getting this discussion started.
Hey, thank you. I'm glad we had this opportunity.